Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same to Bible Crossfire. Don't forget about Proverbs 14:12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because something seems right religiously doesn't mean that it's right. It could lead to death. The only way we can know what's right is from God's word. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God, the Bible, defines for us what the truth is, and only the truth will set us free from sin. John 8:32. Unfortunately, many people have compromised the truth, especially in the last several decades. And I'm thinking specifically of the compromise we've all seen on homosexuality. Let's talk about that compromise, but first let's establish from the Bible that homosexuality is a sin. You can't compromise this. It's a sin any which way you look at it. Old Testament and New Testament taught it was a sin. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, but I still think it's valuable to show it was wrong under the Old Testament law. Because if it's wrong under the Old Testament law, then that throws out the number one argument of the gay church that they're born that way and they can't help it. If they admit, and they do, that it was wrong under the Old Testament law, the gay church, then that proves that people aren't born that way, because God would never make it a sin. Even 5,000 years ago, he would not make it a sin in the Old Testament dispensation if people couldn't help it, if they were born that way. So if you admit it was condemned under the Old Testament law, then you're admitting people aren't born that way. Here's Leviticus 20, verse 13, a very clear passage. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Now, we're not talking about two little brothers sleeping in the same bed because, you know, there's not enough beds to go around. This is a man lying with another man as he would with a woman, it says, meaning sexually. And it calls it an abomination. That word's usually reserved for the worst kind of sins or crimes. It's not just a sin, it's an abomination. It's a bad sin, we might say, in our vernacular. And what was the penalty given for this sin or crime? They shall surely be put to death. Have you ever been caught speeding by a policeman? Did he sentence you to the electric chair or execution? No, he just gave you a ticket. The point is, you don't normally put to death people for the sins or crimes that aren't significant. This sin, homosexuality, if people were caught, they were put to death, shows it was considered a very grievous sin under the Old Testament law. Now, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call right now, 877-655-6755. The number to call if you'd like to join in the discussion live, 877-655-6755. So we showed one of about five or six verses in the Old Testament that said homosexuality was a sin. Let's go to the New Testament. The first one we'll turn to is Romans 1. Let me read verse 24 to start with. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, verse 24, we don't know what sin he's talking about. He just said it's something considered unclean, and they're dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. So something between two people. Now pick that reading up in Romans 1 at 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error, which is meat. 26 is condemning what we call today lesbianism, women changing the natural use. 27 is condemning what we call gay sex between two gay men. It says the men, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. So the men with men, gay men, this passage, to put it mildly, condemns both types of homosexuality, lesbianism and gay men. Not only does it say it's a sin, something else Three times it says it's unnatural. What does that mean? Well, there are some sins you're committing, you're satisfying a natural desire. For example, if I get hungry, that's a natural desire. Nothing wrong with being hungry. You're going to get hungry every day. I could satisfy that desire by working to get my food, or I could satisfy that desire by stealing food. The latter way is not a lawful way to satisfy that natural desire. See? So it's a sin, but in the sin, stealing, I'm satisfying a natural desire. Homosexuality is not only a sin, it's not a natural desire. I believe anybody could look, just to be blunt, at the anatomy of a male and a female and would know what's supposed to go on sexually just by looking at the anatomy of a male and female. You wouldn't even need the Bible to know it's wrong. But thankfully, we do have the Bible. It's an unnatural sin. So that means nobody's born that way. The scientists have been looking for a gay gene for decades. They've never found one. There is no such thing as a gay gene. Every sin, we have a choice about whether or not to commit it or not. So every time somebody commits the sin of homosexuality, it's because they chose that. It's their own fault. Don't blame it on anybody else. They're not born that way. This says it's unnatural. That would prove they're not born that way. Now, so we've established from the Old Testament that homosexuality was a sin back then. We've established from the New, from Romans 1, that homosexuality is a sin today. And there's five or six more passages in the New Testament that teach the same thing. But after reading from the Bible that it's wrong, I want to point out ask this question. Haven't we seen a dramatic change in American society toward accepting homosexuality since about the year 2000? I think we have. You know, I remember when I was a boy, nobody thought this was right. Not even people in the world thought it was right. Then Hollywood accepted it, homosexuality. Then, after Hollywood accepted it, the world accepted it. And then, since about the year 2000, churches have started to accept it. And that's one of the things I'd like to talk about tonight, is how that churches have compromised through the years, and they now accept homosexuality or gay marriage. They didn't used to. You go back 100 years ago, not a single church thought it was right. But maybe now, if you took in all the different types of congregations, maybe 50% would condone homosexuality, say it's right. Terribly unfortunate sequence of events for churches to compromise and start accepting homosexuality and to change in that direction. It's never right if you're following the Bible to compromise and quit following the Bible. But sad to say, that's what a lot of churches have done. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. You can call about this topic, homosexuality, or any other Bible topic, 877-655-6755. Now, I wanted to show you, and I could send you this outline so you could see it on paper. I wanted to show you some quotes to document how churches have changed on this. Now, let's first talk about the Presbyterian Church USA. And the reason I'm talking about them is because I have five or six quotes from them that show that they've changed on this issue. First, let's look at 1978. 1978, after this United Presbyterian Church had their General Assembly, their 190th General Assembly, they usually at the end of those assemblies, general conferences, they put out statements that they feel like they need to put out, official statements. Well, they did that in 1978. And they said, homosexuality is not God's wish for humanity. On the basis of our understanding that the practice of homosexuality is sin, we are concerned that homosexual believers in the observing world should not be left in doubt about the church's mind on this issue during any further period of study. Leanne from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
Patrick, I just had a comment. I am a woman that's been married 44 years, faithful to my husband, and so I want to lay a little groundwork there. I actually had a dream a few weeks ago, and in that dream, it was just heartbreaking in the dream because I thought that I had been unfaithful with my husband with another woman in the dream, no details. And when I woke up, well, I have to tell you, in the dream, too, I have two sisters that are godly and that I go to with a lot of issues when I've had them through my life. And So in this dream, I went and I said, I've got to get out of this. And I felt so desperate. And I think we all, when we go away from God, initially you feel desperation. And so in the dream, I talked to my sister and she said, you have been edited. And I woke up. And when I looked at that word, edited, means that something's tried to change you. And I so believe that that's what's going on in our world today for young people and in this so-called way of life that people are choosing to go that is so wrong for them. And I'm with you. I feel like some people have been hurt and injured when they were children. Maybe they didn't mean to get turned this direction. My heart goes out to them, but they have to repent and turn from it. And that's the thing the church is not telling them today. You have to repent and turn from it.
The church is telling them that, or it's not telling them that? Leanne, the church are telling them to repent, or they're not telling them to repent?
Are you still there?
Which one? Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm sorry. Could you not hear me?
You said the churches are telling the young people to repent, or they're not telling them to repent? I want you to repeat that.
They're not. They are not telling them that they need to repent.
Leanne, I congratulate you on being married 44 years and being faithful to your husband that whole time. And dreams are just, many things don't mean anything, okay? So don't, your dream doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I'm glad you learned a lesson from it if you did, and that is that homosexuality is wrong. You were so happy when you woke up and learned that you had not been unfaithful to your husband with another woman, right? You were so happy when you woke up, right?
Exactly. I was very happy.
So you learned a lesson. I learned a lesson from that by you telling me the dream. I congratulate you on being faithful. And you are exactly right. If you've been married 44 years, I'm 64. Are you in the same age range as me, Leanne?
I am. I'm 64. Mm-hmm.
So, graduate high school in 79?
I graduated in 78, yes.
So, one grade ahead of me. So, look, when we were children, and when we hardly even knew what homosexuality was, but when we started learning about what it was, nobody thought it was right back then, right?
Nobody thought it was right. You're thinking exactly right. Nobody.
But it's been gradually accepted first by the world. And now, guess what, Leanne? It's my estimate that 50% of the congregations across America say that it's right. Now, you think, aren't a lot of churches against it? Yes, but some of the bigger denominations, like this one I was trying to read from, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Methodist Church in the last few years, you know, is having a split over this. And Episcopal Church. I've got quotes from them.
Yes.
Some of the larger denominations who have many, many congregations under their umbrella have accepted it. 50% of the congregations of churches, and if you're a church, you're supposed to be following the Bible. That's why you're a church and not just a country club, right, Leanne?
Exactly, and they're going to answer for it. Tell people.
They're not following the Bible. We're trying to tell them on this radio program, right, Leanne? And I appreciate your help in this, okay?
That's exactly right. Yes. God bless you.
I appreciate your call, and you're encouraging everybody else to stay faithful to their spouses.
Exactly.
Not only is homosexual sex wrong, sex outside of marriage is wrong. That's what we learned when we were growing up, that we couldn't have sex you couldn't have sex with a young man, and I couldn't have sex with a young lady unless I married her first, right? Didn't we learn that?
Exactly.
Churches have compromised that on that too.
Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, it's all wrong. You cannot, you don't need to be unfaithful. You'll be glad that you stayed faithful.
Yep. Leanne, you're exactly right. Appreciate your call, okay?
All right. God bless you.
Have a good evening. Appreciate Leanne's call. So in 1978, we see that the Presbyterian Church USA is totally against homosexuality. They say it's not God's wish for humanity. They say it's a sin. This is from that quote I read before I took the call from Leanne. And they said, we don't want to leave anybody in doubt about where we stand on this. But in 1991, they at least by 1991, they do about face. They say the church, talking about the same Presbyterian Church USA, should reevaluate its definition of sin to reflect the changing mores of society. The church should sound a call for widening the circle of the faithful with gays, lesbians, and heterosexual singles who practice safe sex. We feel that marriage is not what legitimates sexual gratification. So in 1978, this church is against homosexuality. They say it's a sin. I guess, and I'm sure if they were against it in 1978, then they would have been against it in 1878 and 1778. But all of a sudden we have this change between 1978 and 1991. Now they're saying you can be gay and lesbian and still be considered faithful. And then to be consistent, and we talked with Leanne about this briefly, to be consistent, even if you're heterosexual, you can have sex before marriage. Well, they had to do that to be consistent because in 1991, there's no such thing as gay marriage. So if they're saying it's okay for two gay men or two gay ladies to have sex with one another, well, that's going to be outside of marriage. So how could they say it's wrong for a man and a woman to have sex together outside of marriage? So they say it's okay. They're trying to be consistent. But the worst part of that quote is they say the church should reevaluate its definition of sin to reflect the changing mores of society. 1 John 3:4 gives us a definition for sin. It says it's a transgression of the law. Talking about God's law. Now they're wanting to change it from transgressing God's law, going against what the scriptures say, to we're going to say the definition of sin should reflect the changing mores or practices of society. What they mean is, so if 100 years ago, society said homosexuality was wrong, and they did, we're going to say it's wrong. But if the society now says it's okay, we're going to say it's okay. So they are changed by the world instead of they trying to change the world. It's 1978 to 1991, this Presbyterian Church USA compromised on homosexuality. Now they say it's okay to be gay. Now let's fast forward 19 more years to 2010. Before I do that, let me mention, if you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are open. Here's the same, about the same church, 2010. Presbyterian leaders voted to allow non-celibate gays in committed relationships to serve as clergy, approving the first of two policy changes that could make their church one of the most gay-friendly major Christian denominations in the U.S. Several major Christian denominations have voted in recent years to allow non-celibate gays to serve as clergy if they're in committed relationships. Among them are the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. This is from Newsmax.com, July 2010. So now the Presbyterian Church USA is not only saying it's okay to be gay, they're saying gays can serve in our clergy, can be our preachers. And it goes on to say the Evangelical Lutheran Church has gone in the same direction. So the churches are falling one by one. First one church and then another, and they're compromising on homosexuality. You go back 100 years ago, everybody, all the churches said it was wrong. Even the world said it was wrong 100 years ago. Now the Hollywood, then the world, and now even churches are saying it's okay, and they're having gays serve in their clergy, serve as preachers. 2015, the Presbyterian Church made an historic decision to formally recognize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to marry in its congregations. The denomination voted to redefine the church constitutional marriage to include a commitment between two people. So now, 2010, they're going to let gays serve in the clergy. Now, in 2015, they're going to have gay wedding ceremonies. They're going to recognize gay marriage. You see how they compromise from 1978 a little bit to 1991. I said a little bit, really is actually a lot, but they compromised even more to 2010 and then even more to 2015. First, they say it's okay to be gay. Then they say it's okay for gays to be in our clergy. And now they're saying we're going to have gay marriage. This is, to me, it's absurd for a church, people to think of themselves as a church and so disregard what the Bible says. And not only are they disregarding what the Bible says on homosexuality. They say we're going to redefine the church constitutional marriage to include a commitment between two people. They used to define marriage just like Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and Matthew 19, where Jesus is talking, marriage was between male and female. Now they're saying it's a commitment between two people. So they're opening up marriage to two men getting married, two ladies getting married, when the Bible defined marriage is between male and female. So they're changing God's definition. How can you be any more arrogant than changing God's definition of marriage? John from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, buddy, I got a politician that is the most conservative person. I can't think of anybody more conservative. No abortion, against the drag queens in the libraries. He's just solid all the way around. And guess what?
What?
He has a boyfriend. But,
man, that's so disappointing, isn't it?
But what I'm trying to say, I agree, I would like my senator or whatever to be able to walk into the kindergarten class or into the church. And look, we all sin. I'm a sinner, Lord, today. I feel guilty about it all the time, but I had a problem with alcohol for years. I will not take a bottle of whiskey into church. And not all churches of, you got the religion. You spoke about Presbyterian. Guess what? He's Presbyterian. And that's okay in that church. So you walk up in church with your male friend and all the children see this. But on the other hand, if we don't vote for this person, guess who we get? Somebody that says, go kill your baby anytime you want to. I don't think I have a choice. He's very extremely intelligent. Hey, I just wanted to lay that on you. You can either not vote or go vote for his opponent, which would be
or you could you could write way. In you could write in a candidate, a gospel preacher, write in a gospel preacher as write him in. That way you'd be voting for somebody good. Write in a gospel preacher.
That'd be, going up there and saying, I stand for this, but it's not going to make a difference. We're trying to save. Like I say, number one on my list, and I'm a union man. But I don't care what the union says.
John, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Are we going to have abortions? Are we going to have abortions or not? And when you, you're not going to find people on the Democratic side. Very, 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 not going to happen.
We're
not
going to thank you for your call. Thank you for your call, John. Thank you for your call. And, of course, people have something number one on their list, but I don't know how you can ignore homosexuality. That should be right up there, and that's what we're talking about today. So the Presbyterian Church we've documented is compromised through the years on homosexuality. Let's get back to what the New Testament says on this. That's our law for today. That's the law that we have to live by. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 from the New King James Version reads this way. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Starts out by saying the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says the same thing at the end. People involved in these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. It includes fornicators, adulterers, and homosexuals. Homosexuals cannot be saved unless they repent. Now, I've had a number of public debates with gay preachers and gay churches, 8 or 10 of them, and they say, oh, it's okay to be a homosexuality. Well, our last caller said something like this, unfortunately. It's like, well, everybody sins. It's almost as if it's like it's okay to sin. It's not okay to sin. It's true that everybody sins. That means everybody needs to repent. Doesn't mean it's okay to sin. Homosexuality is a sin in the Bible. Churches have changed on it, compromised on it, and that's something they cannot do. They cannot go to heaven that way. If you would like a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me, at 256-682-9753. 256-682-9753.